Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 283 of Bat Flips and Maple Dips. I'm Patrick, he's Justin. Let's just get right into it. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. I never thought we would be here to say this. I wish I had said it 5 years ago, but here we are. Justin, Joey Votto is a Toronto Blue Jay.
He is. Yeah. It's a weird thing to consider, but here we are.
It's surreal to me. I can't believe this is real. I cannot believe it. The 40-year-old has signed a minor league deal with the Jays. I don't know what to say, man. I didn't know what I was going to say about this before we started.
It sounds like you still don't know.
I know, I'm actually at a loss for words. When we started this podcast, yep. What was it? 7 years ago?
Almost 7 years. Almost 6 years ago. Yeah. 2018.
Holy shit. That's so crazy to me, man.
Yeah. We're 3 months shy of 6 years of BFMD.
That's so wild to me. 6 years ago. We're going real inside baseball here for this, but 6 years ago, both Justin and I were blog writers.
Yep.
For a blog that probably doesn't exist anymore. Hopefully doesn't exist. and we weren't both writing for the Jays. I don't remember what team you were covering.
I was covering the Arizona Diamondbacks of all teams.
That's actually kind of cool.
It was kind of fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I was covering the Jays, and it eventually just diminishing returns as far as like enjoyment. And yeah. But I wrote an article about Joey Votto after he made the comments about not being interested in playing for Team Canada.
Yeah.
It was a very like emotional take.
Yeah.
About how the GOAT Canadian player was actually Ferguson Jenkins, which is
still true.
100% true based on empirical data. And will be until Joey Votto hits another like 200 home runs. Or he would have to in order for me to change my mind. Yeah. Anyway, that actually sparked the genesis of doing a podcast, the two of us.
Because I was kind of on the polar opposite side of things where I didn't really take offense to the comments. So we had many a conversation in the DMs about your article and about our opposition of feelings towards what Votto had said. And for the record, Votto did eventually retract what he said and said it was a stupid thing that he said, kind of thing. Whatever, it doesn't matter anymore. But at the time, it was very polarizing because, yeah, you took a lot more offense to it than I did.
Not incorrectly.
Yeah, it was definitely a shitty thing to say that Votto said at the time. But I mean, we definitely had different interpretations of it. I think it's crazy to me how even back then, our opinions were kind of the same as they are now. You know, like I'm pretty like, I'm a bit less emotional than you are when it comes to like the initial take. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've often said, oh yeah, you're the emotional boy of the two of us, or you'll like, you wear your heart on your sleeve a little bit more than I do. Whereas I've just been so beaten down by my sports teams that I just have no life left in me to give. But so yeah, but it's crazy to think that even 6 years on our initial reactions and like our personalities are kind of still the exact same as they were.
In a way it is, but I would say that my opinion on that, the article I wrote and what Joey Votto says has changed.
For sure.
I would actually say it's not a shitty thing that he said. My opinion on that has changed. I think it was how he said it that sucked.
Yeah.
I think what he was trying to say was a little bit different. I mean, I'm not Joey Votto. I'm not BFF with with Joey Votto. I think what he was, what the, I don't know what the quote is, but I think what he was trying to say was different than what came out in print, which at the time I definitely was like kicking a hornet's nest, I think, for Canadian baseball fans.
Yeah. I'm pulling up an old sportsnet.ca article, and Joey said, it's not loading for some reason because Sportsnet's website's shit. I don't care almost at all about Canadian baseball. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and then he also apologized like a day later for it. So
I think what he was trying to say was that he was not. And again, I'm not trying. Maybe I'm projecting what I wish he had said rather than what he actually said. I don't think he is particularly interested in participating in international baseball, I think was probably a better way to say it. I don't think the man doesn't care about Canadian baseball. I think he recognizes his place in Canadian baseball history and his importance to tens of thousands of young children who grew up idolizing him. You know,
yeah.
Men and women and other, all sort of idolizing Joey Votto for having an astonishing career. I think at the time he was probably thinking about international baseball, which is fair. There's not really much of a reason to care about international baseball because it doesn't have the same weight that international hockey has, or basketball even, because there's really only a few countries that play baseball as much as the United States. In fact, other than the United States, baseball's biggest country that plays it is Japan. And then it's like countries that are very close to the United States play it. Canada's been a big part of baseball since its creation. However, because of the weather in Canada, hockey is played a lot more. And for a great deal of time, Canadian football also sort of dwarfed baseball's popularity. It's only been in the last, I'd say, like 10 years that baseball is really starting to develop at the correct pace in Canada.
Right.
I think it stagnated for a really long time because there were no stars other than like Justin Morneau, and then the occasional big leaguer like Ryan Dempster's Canadian, and then you had like other guys Paul Quantrill is like a relief pitcher, which you can't really. That's hard. That's a tougher sell than like a guy who hits home runs, but Joey Votto I think opened that door, and in the last 10 years we've seen a big rise in the development of Canadian baseball. It's also cheaper to play than most other sports too. All you need is a glove, a bat, ball, and you're there.
Yeah.
And well, I guess, and then 18 other people, but anyway, I digress. At the time, I think Votto was probably referring to international baseball, which baseball Canada wasn't really as strong as what it is now.
His comments were about how he wasn't really raised in the Canadian baseball system. He spent a lot of his life, like as soon as he turned pro, he was playing in the States. You know, he was drafted out of high school by the Reds and played in their minor league system for like 4 or so years before he got called up. So it's like, yeah, as a young person in his formative years of baseball, he was playing in America. So I think that was really what he meant, was that, you know, like, I don't really care about the Canadian baseball system. And yeah, back then Team Canada was not great. So
it just wasn't developing.
And I mean, he apologized a day later. Like it was a thing that he said in the moment, and he probably regretted it, and he retracted it, kind of thing. So it is what it is. But it did spawn this podcast, and that was also around the time that was a year and a bit after the bat flip. So we kind of took the name there and rolled with it. But it's interesting that we've kind of come full circle where now Joey Votto he posted about how like he wants to play for the Blue Jays. Now it's his childhood team. He basically said, you know, like he posted a picture of him as a baby in a Blue Jays bib on Instagram. He still looks the exact same as he did, same head and everything, same bald head. Pretty funny. But yeah, we've kind of come full circle there. And I think as a 40-year-old, he still thinks he has something to give. He has obviously he's had some shoulder issues the last couple of seasons. Was obviously healthy enough to pass a physical yesterday, else he wouldn't have been signed. So we'll see what happens. And I mean, he's going to work his way up from the minor leagues. And unless something miraculous happens in the last couple weeks of spring training here, he doesn't have that much time. We're like 19 days away from opening day. So he doesn't have that much time to make an impact. So we'll see what happens. But it's very cool that he's here now. I'm glad that he's getting a shot. It's a zero risk deal. If he's crappy, he gets released from his minor league deal and probably retires. You know, like it is what it is. I mean, we can't have that many expectations on it.
Shades of the Vladdy Senior stuff, right? Remember when they signed Vladdy Senior right at the end of his pro career, right.
And
it was like that was kind of a cool thing because that was around the same time that they signed Baby Vladdy,
mm-hmm.
Vladdy Junior, when he was young. As an international prospect or whatever, right?
Yeah.
The Votto situation is interesting because it adds a tiny bit of spice to that last roster spot for backup first baseman /DH/ what if Vladdy gets hurt spot on the bench. So there were two guys competing for it. Daniel Vogelbach and Spencer Horowitz. Vogelbach has had an okay spring, but Vogelbach would not be on the field.
Yeah.
Spencer Horowitz has not had a great spring, but he also can play defense and does play it decently. So it's interesting. Votto into the mix is interesting because obviously I don't see Votto playing in the field a lot.
If he does make the team, he'd be like the Brandon Belt type deal as he did last year. You know, like
just... he did play 47 games last year in the field.
Yeah.
Which is not nothing.
Especially and then the year before he only played 76. What, like 60 games last year, 50 games.
Yeah, yeah. And then he DH'd the remaining portion. He actually had a great 2021.
Yeah, but again, his last really good year. And then the shoulder issues happened.
Yeah, three of his last 4 years were not good, by Joey Votto standards. I think what matters is this is an opportunity for the Jays to give a look to a Brandon. He's basically a replacement for Brandon Belt. Remember how we talked last time about who's in and who's out?
Yep.
Votto would essentially be replacing Brandon Belt, which, I mean, from a certain point of view, that's a significant upgrade. It's just there's a bigger question mark than there was with Belt last year, and there was still a question mark with Belt. So I think it's kind of adds a little bit of spice to the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is. You're right. I think he has a very short runway to make an impact, but he's open to the prospect of being in the minor leagues to start, unlike Vogelbach, who probably will request release if he doesn't make this team, which he is fixing to not make. It's basically like he's getting a chance to work out with the team and be like at a team facility until like the very last minute. And then maybe a team picks him up. Vogelbach anyway. Votto, I think, is going to be with the Jays after spring training, like the organization.
Yeah. He said that he's willing to work his way to the big, basically earn his way back to the bigs. You know, he said he's willing to do that. So I don't think he'll be a type of guy who will opt out.
Horowitz has options, right?
Spencer Horowitz still has a year of options. Correct.
So, it's not the worst thing in the world for Votto or the Jays or Spencer Horowitz if he does make the team. It's still workable. It's not like the Mitch White situation where you're probably going to lose somebody. Although the Mitch White situation might also have worked itself out. But we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that today. This is exciting. Joey Votto is a Toronto Blue Jay. what does that mean? We don't really know until we see him in action. And if he's capable of playing and contributing, he's going to be on this team.
Yeah, for sure. Other good news before we keep going to this, Eric Swanson's son Toby is home.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. They posted his wife had posted a photo. He's got a cast on his right arm and a sweet ass neck brace, but he's smiling. He's with his sister, so it was good. It's good to see him back, and definitely the best possible outcome that could have happened from that situation. So props to everybody involved in all the doctors and nurses and any other personnel at the hospital who took care of Toby. So glad to see he's back. Hopefully he gets to throw to first pitch or something this year. That'd be cool.
Guarantee he will when he's
should
able
be
to,
Father's Day. That'll be the one.
And
I think,
he will get a standing ovation. That will last
it.
Like
yeah.
20 minutes.
That'll be a core memory right there.
Yeah, Father's Day would actually be a perfect. Actually, all the kids should do that.
Yeah.
I think
Kevin Gosman's daughter did last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think all the boys and girls who are children
cool.
of the Jays, they should all do it to throw to their daddies on Father's Day. I think
that'd be
cool.
Very
cool. And I think obviously Toby would get a big cheer.
Mm-hmm.
I was being a bit exaggerating when I said 20 minutes. But a lot of people have been following this story.
Yeah.
And it's like the feel-good story of the spring. Joey Votto trying to steal that thunder at the last minute by joining the team. But still, it's a good time to be the Jays. I'll say this too. I remember last week, I was a bit like, the Jays are 3-8 or whatever it was. What was it? They were like 2-7 or 2-8.
You were sad about their spring training record.
Yeah. I was like, they're not doing good, and they're 6-8 as of today. Now they are winning one of the split squad games, and they're getting thumped in the other against the Orioles. No, these games mean nothing, but
it's still real to me. Damn it!
They're starting to even out. They'll probably finish the day, either 6-10 or 7-9, something like that.
Yeah.
Which is still like whatever.
The games start mattering in 19 days.
Yeah, they don't really matter. What does matter though is what we're seeing out of certain players in camp. So Justin, I'd like it if you kind of took the lead on a couple of things that have come out of news here in camp.
Yeah, so good news on Kevin Gausman. He was also dealing with some shoulder fatigue there last week. He pitched a bullpen, felt good. He's going to be ready for opening day, he says. He's going to try to be up to at least 75 pitches in the spring by opening day. He still has time to make 3 appearances. If they do make 3 more appearances in spring training games with Gausman, that would likely take him out of the conversation for opening day starter. That would more shift to Bassett or Berríos. I think as of now, the way they have it lined up, it looks like it'd be Bassett, just based on the days that those guys have been pitching. But I mean, they can still adjust that over the next couple of weeks. Not the end of the world. As long as Gausman is healthy at the beginning of the season, the opening day start is cool. The best, like the guy who's like the ace of the staff gets it. But at the end of the day, I mean, as long as Gausman is healthy and you're able to go in game 2 or game 3, like, we don't care. It doesn't really matter because he still get the same amount of starts throughout the season anyway. So that's good news. The Jays did make Matt Chapman a 2-year offer, Patrick, according to John Heyman, shortly before he signed at the Giants. But Chapman opted to sign with San Francisco to play for his former A's manager, Bob Melvin, who's now in San Fran. So, I mean, good for him. Doesn't really matter. And the battles are raging on in spring training, Patrick. We've got guys like Ernie Clement and Nathan Lucas having tremendous springs. And guys like Santiago Espinal battling for a spot. Davis Schneider still battling for a bench spot. And the third base conversation is interesting too. Biggio is back and playing and has had some success in limited at-bats so far. Connor Falefa's actually had a very good offspring offensively. So, I mean, there's some battles that are raging on. And, I mean, there are going to be some interesting conversations over the next little while. I mean, Nathan Lucas still does have options, as does Davis Schneider, as does Santiago Espinal. So there's going to be some very interesting chats that will be happening at the Blue Jays minor league level. We already talked about Spencer Horowitz. He has two options left this year and next year. And then you look at guys like Eduardo Escobar, who are non-roster invites. He's probably not going to be a Blue Jay much longer. The Blue Jays did option Damiano Pomagiani to the minor league camp the other day. He's one of the third base slash first base slash outfield prospects I'm keeping my eyes on. Aurelvis is not having a great spring. Barger and Jimenez are almost afterthoughts at this point. Ernie Clement, though, does not have options, Patrick. And that's kind of a guy I wanted to talk about today, because he's a guy who had a very good year in both the minors last season as well as his limited appearances in MLB. You look at his stats from AAA last year, .348 batting average, a .136 WRC plus. And then in the bigs, he hit .380 in 52 plate appearances. The thing you have to look at, though, is the BABIP, which was about it was .380 in MLB, which was almost 100 points higher than the .297 average last year league-wide, and also .348 in AAA. Not saying he'll never be like a below-average BABIP guy this year, but it's tough to hit that high on BABIP over a full season. But he's a bat-first guy. You look at the strikeout rate, right? Doesn't strike out much.
Doesn't walk at all.
Well, I mean, 52 plate appearances. He was too busy hitting his way on base to take walks last year.
Yeah, but even his AAA numbers.
Yeah, still really walks more than he strikes out, though, in AAA, right?
That's last true. Year.
So, I mean, he's a contact guy, and as a guy who can play third base, second base, shortstop, he is a direct competitor with Santiago Espinal. And because he is on the 40-man and because he doesn't have options, it'd be tough for me to pick Espinal over Clement, honestly. And Clement is a better base stealer. He had 12 stolen bases in AAA last year in 72 games. Like, he's got some wheels. He can play multiple defensive positions. And I think that in my mind, I would rather him on the big league roster than Espinal. I'm not sure. I don't understand the continued infatuation that the Blue Jays have with Espinal. He had one very good year and then was not.
That's not good. True. He had two good years.
Yeah, whatever. But I mean, still, he's not getting any better. he's already peaked, you know, versus a guy who you have in your system in Clement, who doesn't have options and is playing better than Espinal. It's tough for me to pick.
Here's what's going to happen. One of them must be traded.
Yeah, because if you expose Clement to waivers, somebody's taking him.
You're getting, yeah. It could be that no team would be willing to trade for either of them because they're aware of the fact that one must go. But
yeah.
I would think that Espinal would net you more value, while I would argue Clement is probably the better player right now. So with that being said, they have almost certainly shopped Espinal around.
You would think so. There were some rumors in the offseason, but nothing came of it.
Well, obviously nothing has come of it, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they have been trying to shop him, because there's no roster space. You can't. Yeah, there's just no space. The last spot has to go to someone who can play first base.
And for what it's worth,
so
right now on the Blue Jays, on FanGraphs, they have the bench spots being outside of the catcher spot. They have it as Espinal, Schneider, and Lucas, which would effectively make Kevin Biggio the backup first baseman. Or Justin Turner, I guess. Justin Turner is the backup first baseman.
Turner? No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
I guess,
at this point, he is. If the roster goes as FanGraphs has it projected, then Justin Turner is the backup first baseman, but he's also your DH. So Kevin Biggio would be third on the first base depth chart, which isn't a bad thing. He's a fine defender. But, I mean, I think I'm less focused on having a guy that has to be able to play first base. I'm more focused on bringing the best possible bench bats and players. And right now, there's Ernie Clement and then there's 6 miles of crap, and then there's Santiago Espinal in terms of what they've done so far this spring. And I mean, yes, we know spring stats don't matter, but for guys competing for bench spots, the stats do matter. The win-loss doesn't matter, but the stats do for these fringe players. You know, if Danny Jansen goes 0 for 20 in spring training, we don't care about it because he's worried about the pitching. But if Santiago Espinal continues to hit 100 or whatever he's hitting right now in the spring, 133, we worry about that, because if Ernie Clement goes into the spring and hits 353 like he has right now, and for what it's worth, Espinal has more plate appearances and is hitting worse, you worry about that.
So here's my thoughts. I think the three bench spots are going to be occupied by Davis Schneider, Nathan Lucas, and then take your pick between either Ernie Clement or Vogelbach or Votto.
Yeah.
And it seems, out of all of them, it seems like Votto going to the minor leagues to start is better for the team.
Yes.
Spencer Horowitz has options.
Yes.
And then Vogelbach will probably be released. He'll probably request his release, and then he'll be released.
Correct.
And which leaves Santiago Espinal on the outs. So you got to trade him. There's no way to make him fit on this team unless Davis Schneider goes to the minors, which would be weird after the pace that he had last year. You would think you would want to give him the chance to repeat that. And Nathan Lucas, he's kind of an interesting guy too, because you kind of need him, and he's really hot right now in spring training, but he's also, there's no MLB experience that's worth talking about. Like, he was not good in the 31 PAs last year, but that's only 31 PAs. In AAA, he was a monster.
He was great in AAA. Yeah.
But I know they don't translate, but like, no. The team has to make decisions soon. And it's with Espinal, you have no options. With Lucas, you have no options. With Clement, you have no options. With Vogelbach, you have no options.
Espinal has options. He's got two.
Espinal doesn't. He does have options?
Two options. Two options left.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's stomachable for anybody for him to go to the minors.
It is for me.
You could do it on paper, but I just don't think it's probably not likely. He'd probably refuse to report. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't know him personally.
I think he'd be. I think he'd accept it. But I mean, obviously, he'd rather play in the big leagues. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I would imagine if he has the idea that he's not making this team, he would likely request a trade.
I'm sure the Jays would oblige that if they're able to find a trade partner, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and for what it's worth, too, like, David Schneider's not having a great spring so far either. He's hitting 176 through his first 20 plate appearances, so not exactly lighting the world on fire either. But again, could get three hits in his next three at-bats, and...
But he can play outfield. That's what he's been working on this whole
Yeah, he can play in left field a little bit. He's been playing there. So between Schneider and Espinal, you've got a guy who can play left, a guy who can play right. Or Schneider and Biggio, excuse me, not Espinal. You've got a guy who can play left and a guy who can play right. And then Nathan Lucas can play anywhere. He's actually a center fielder by trade. So you have Kiermaier, Varsho, and Lucas. The bad thing is those guys are all left-handed bats, as is Biggio. So... you almost need to have Schneider on the bench as a righty, because you can throw him in left field against a left-handed pitcher and keep Springer and then one of Kiermaier or Varsho in the lineup on that given day in center field.
Yeah.
And then against the tough righty, you can, again, throw Biggio out in right field, maybe give Springer a DH day or a day off. You can put Schneider in... on the bench that day and have Varsho and Kiermaier out in the field as well against righties. So you could have three left-handed outfielders in any given day. Like it gives them flexibility and options. I think we're going to see a lot of rotation amongst the outfield this year, especially with Kiermaier. I think Varsho and Springer will be more so every day than Kiermaier, Schneider, or Biggio, just because obviously Kiermaier's had, he was healthy last year except for when he got mashed by the fence in Fenway, but he does have some injury history. So I don't know. It's the Blue Jays right now, like their team, they have flexibility, especially on their infield with guys like Connor Falefa, Biggio, and whoever Espinal or Schneider make the team to play different positions. They don't have these guys except for Bo, who are like locked in at one position, or Vladdy, but we don't have to worry about first base. First base is covered. So it's, the Jays are in a good spot flexibility wise. I just worry about the level of talent, you know, like the lineup still doesn't scare me. It scares me in a bad way, not in a good way. I'd like to be scared by this lineup, but I'm not. And I look at it as an opposing defense team.
Yeah, defensively, I have zero concerns about this team whatsoever, unlike almost every year for the past like 15 years.
I mean, you've been concerned about third base this offseason.
Yes, but I also think that it sucks to say it, since they're going to move forward with using some sort of aggregate player. Collectively, those three or four players they'll use at third base are
fine.
Are going to be adequate.
Yeah.
It is what it is. There's no third baseman within the organization who is able to step in for Matt Chapman. Because there's no, like, again, tremendously elite player defensively. Terrible at the plate the last 5 months of the season. And there just wasn't a free agent who was worth throwing the money at to, you know, for that spot. And maybe it's a situation where you don't have to. Maybe you look at who's a free agent next year. Or maybe you make a trade. I don't know. Like, there's so many different directions they could go in. I'm glad they didn't overpay Matt Chapman to come back to a place that he pretty clearly didn't want to be in. I mean, he declined multiple offers. He told them last spring that he wasn't re-signing.
Yeah, he was going to go to free agency, yeah. So
fine.
Sure.
That's fine. I'm not mad about that. I am mad about him blaming the dimensions of the the park.
Look, I've when we did our season wrap up episode, I put my tinfoil hat on about the changes to Rogers Center as a reason a lot of guys had bad splits home and road for the Jays last year. So I mean, I don't necessarily think that he's incorrect that it made an impact. What I disagree with is that it was the sole reason for his shit. The dimensions don't cause you to strike out.
it's not just that, though. It was blaming the dimensions, but then signing with a team that plays at sea level
in
the
a
most
big
pitcher-friendly park I can think of at the moment.
Yeah, one of them anyway. Yep.
And it's like, there hasn't been a player since Barry Bonds to hit 30 home runs in that park. Now, I know Brandon Belt came very close, but Brandon Belt's also a significantly better hitter than Matt Chapman. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care about Matt Chapman anymore. He's gone from this team. There is no reason to discuss him any further.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be back in any capacity this year because they go to San Francisco this year.
Yep.
What matters is how safe are the Jays from a defensive standpoint, which was triggered by the fact that I said, you know, we're using an aggregate third baseman this year, or whatever you want to call it, a platoon. Anyway, defensively, I'm not worried. Offensively, this lineup lacks bite. They're relying a lot on guys to overachieve, and they're relying a lot on Davis Schneider continuing
to be
what he did last year. Yeah. They're relying on IKF to have a massive bounce back year. Not saying he can't, he could. Justin Turner is going to be a steady hand, but like, your cleanup hitter is Justin Turner and he's 39.
Yep.
He's like, it's a matter of like 20 games where a player that age can go south of cheese really fast and be stinky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could be bad, and I'm not saying Kevin Kiermaier is susceptible, but he has had injury problems too, and we got lucky last year. So I don't know, man. I just think the team has set itself up for really high expectations from these bench bat. The bench, this is a very weak bench. Very weak.
The way I view the Jays this year is I think that they have a reasonably stable floor but a low ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, I could, there's they're basically, I would say, like, with the pitching staff and with the level of talent they do have on offense, I would say that they're pretty safe to finish like 500 or better, you know? But there's a big difference between there's a big difference between winning 81 games and winning 92. It's a big difference. Like, it doesn't sound like 11 games doesn't sound like that much of a difference, but that's a matter of having two really good players on your team. Like, if you look at like say the best year of Mike Trout, he's like a 10 WAR player. Like, one player can add you 10 wins. Obviously, the Jays don't have a peak Mike Trout on their team, but they get two players who are capable of doing anywhere between 2.5 and 3 F WAR. That puts them anywhere from 87 to 88 games, 88 wins, right? You know, like, there's a big difference. And I think that right now, the ceiling of this team is maybe 89 wins. Like, if everybody has, like, terrific years and the pitching is as good as it was last year, 89 wins is, like, about as good as I could see them doing, and which is probably good enough for a wild card spot. But in a division that's going to have a Baltimore team who is going to continue to get even better, then they've gone out and added guys like Corbin Burns to go with their young studs. Like, Baltimore is only getting better, and their window has only just begun to open, whereas the Blue Jays' window is very close to slamming shut with this current core of players. And they haven't won a playoff game with this current group of players. Not a single win. Neither is Baltimore, obviously, but you know what I mean.
I actually disagree with their ceiling. I think their ceiling is higher than 89 wins. Mm-hmm. I think if all the players that were expected to be better who weren't, like if Vladdy and Varsho have bounce back years, even those two guys alone have positive hitting value years.
You're right on that.
I think the seal, and because last year they won 89 games with an overachieving pitching staff and a brutally underachieving hitting staff.
I think their offense has gotten worse this year, though, is what I'm saying. It hasn't gotten better. The guys they brought in are not better.
No, they're not, but I also think that the guys who are all regulars are going to be better this year.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think their ceiling is probably like 91 wins, and I think their floor is probably like a shade over 500. This team, I don't see this team losing more than 80 games.
There'd have to be a lot of significant injury for that to happen, I think.
A lot.
Yeah.
I do think that their bench players lack bite. I don't think there's enough power. And I'm not including Danny Jansen or Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah, they're really
bench because bench guys. Both those guys are going to
split time at catcher, basically.
Yeah, they're going to get between 300 and 400 PAs.
Yeah,
and
the FanGraphs has the split at 361 for Kirk and 357 for Jansen. So literally the exact same amount of playing time. They're gonna 50-50 it, basically.
And if either one of them gets particularly hot at the plate and Justin Turner's not,
then you get DH. Yeah,
regular,
exactly.
Then
yeah.
You have DH flexibility. So this team has an extremely large amount of flexibility in its roster, in its lineup, which I think is its strength. Defensively, I think it is as strong as it was last year. I know Matt Chapman is significant, but I also think that IKF is going to surprise us. And I think Kevin Biggio is going to surprise us.
Yeah.
The question becomes, where are they getting the RBIs from? And it's going to be the guts of the order. It's going to be Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, and Turner, and Varsho. And those five guys right there, they're going to have to be really strong in order to get to that 91 wins. I said off mic, this team would probably win 84. Fangraphs has them winning 85 and missing the playoffs by a game. It's tough to say.
Yeah.
The fifth starter is, I know you wanted me not to talk about the fifth starting position.
Well, I would love to talk about Bowden Francis.
Don't steal my thunder. I think that fifth starter spot belongs to Bowden Francis right now. Straight up. Obviously, Alec Manoah is injured right now. And probably won't be ready for camp. But perfect built-in excuse for him to start in AAA.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Bowden Francis will get his chance to be stretched out, to be able to throw 4 or 5 innings. Nobody expects him to throw 7 innings like Kevin Gausman right off the bat, if Gausman can even do it. But this solves one of the problems. Manoah starts the season at AAA. Bowden is the fifth starter. That gives you a space now, right? The yep. one that we were worried about with Mitch White. So that means Mitch White makes his team. Problem solved. And then what's going to happen with Yariel Rodriguez? Has he done anything yet in spring training?
Not that I have been able to find. I think he had some back spasm. I think he's just been thrown on the backfields. So
he's probably starting in AAA then.
Oh yeah, I would say
it's
so.
It's March the 10th. So he's not ready now to do anything. He's either going to be in the bullpen, in which case, yeah, Mitch White is gone. You're not going to bother doing that, so he's going to just start in AAA. He has options right off the bat, right?
Yep.
Yep. So there you go. I think the 13 pitchers is set. I think it's done. I think it's because Manoah is injured. I think it's done, and Yariel Rodriguez has yet to do anything. So it comes down to those the bench spots as far as who performs well enough to earn a spot in. On the bench. So trading Espinal would probably resolve that equation too. And then there's the Joey Votto of it all. What if Joey Votto comes out and hits 400 in like 10 games in spring training? He's making the team then.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd love to see it. And then, but that means Spencer Horowitz definitely doesn't make the team. And, then you have to trade Espinal unless you decide to trade Clement. You could option David Schneider, but why would you do that after the last year? It doesn't make any sense. And you need another outfielder. And Nathan Lucas is probably the odd man out again.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's really tough. We're getting into the difficult decision territory. Although Manoah's injury, I think, has made one of those decisions a lot easier. Do you think this team can still win with Bowden Francis as fifth starter? Do you think it's an upgrade? Is he an upgrade to Alec Manoah?
Last year's Alec Manoah, yeah, there's not much that could be a downgrade, so yes. And I mean, he's had a
interesting
relatively good spring so far.
Yeah, I'm much more confident.
I believe the Blue Jays should do with the rotation fifth spot just like what they should do with the bench. Whoever performs the best in spring training, because they came into camp ready to compete, needs to get that fifth starting spot. Whether it's Mitch White, Bowden Francis, Alec Manoah, Yariel Rodriguez, I don't care. Whoever competes in spring training and proves that they want it and deserve it, that guy should be the guy who gets it. I don't care who it is, as long as it's the guy who's pitching the best at the time. Because we've seen the Jays keep guys around. Derek Fisher comes to mind, who Mitch White last year at the start of the season, They've kept them around because they don't have options when in reality they need to be focused on winning baseball games. And whoever is pitching the best, whoever is playing the best, hitting the best, feeling the best, whatever it is, those are the guys who need to be on the roster when the season starts, because the schedule is not easy in April and there's no room in baseball in this division for keeping guys around who don't deserve to be there. That's all I got.
I think we've reasonably hit on the conundrum that this team has, although really it's just the lack of bite in the lineup is concerning. But I also think that Varsho, Guerrero, and Bichette are all going to come in, are all going to be a lot better than what they were last year.
Jeez, I think if Bo Bichette's better than he was last year, I'm in. I mean, he was great last year, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but I think there's
still another step forward for a lot of these guys for sure.
Yeah, and Bo is only, he just turned 26. Vladdy just turning 25. George Springer is an interesting conundrum for this team because he does kind of clog things up. He's going to turn 35.
Yeah. Yeah, Vladdy is 25 in 6 days. thing is interesting, and we can talk about lineup construction on maybe our next episode.
He's got, Springer has 2024, 2025, and 2026 left, right? Three seasons are left on his deal.
That's right. We're halfway through. I'm only going to say this about Springer today. He's got to pull the ball. And then he'll be fine. He was still worth 2.2 WAR last year. Like, it's not like he's a lame duck dead in the water.
His April screwed him, though. If he had had a consistent April like he has in previous years, he still would have been a three or four F4 player.
The power numbers were down last year.
Significantly, yeah.
The ISO, his career average of 214 was 147 last year. So I think he needs to just pull the damn ball and he'll be fine. So
I think he'll bounce back this year. The thing with him is that he plays such an intense style.
Yeah.
And you can't have him and Kevin Kiermaier going up there. If they both get injured from playing hard, we're in a lot of trouble. Phone will be ringing off the hook.
I'm looking at Springer's last four seasons, Patrick. Before last year, his pull percentage, 49.3, 48.3, last year 39.5. He got away from what made him incredibly dangerous, and the home run per fly ball was the lowest percentage of his career last year.
That's the thing, though. That's
fly balls were way down too. So he's got to pull the damn ball.
Top to bottom, that was the problem.
That was the problem. So I think, yeah,
it's how they were coached.
Pull the ball, hit dingers. I don't care. I don't give a fuck what your batting average is. If you're scoring runs, it doesn't matter. That's how you win games. You win games by scoring runs, and home runs are always at least one. So,
but that's why I think the change. They had too many
cooks in the kitchen.
Too many cooks in the kitchen last year, and obviously, the guy that they gravitated to is now in a different position, and now you've got Guillermo, who wasn't the problem last year. We did a lot of blaming of
I thought it was him.
I thought it was Dave Hudgens, and it was.
Yeah.
I don't think Guillermo was helping or hurting. I think he was a neutral factor.
Yeah.
But having Don Mattingly now kind of oversee the offense, I think they'll be okay as long as they play to their strengths. Like, Vladdy should be hitting 40 home runs. Who gives a shit?
Just hit
dingers,
baby.
Yeah. Just focus. Just pull the damn ball. That's why I think Danny Jansen gets it, right? Danny Jansen.
He pulls the ball.
Yeah, the last couple of years, that's what he focuses on.
The ball. Yeah.
Look at what he did in 2022.
Yeah.
Right? He was actually really good last year, too.
He just got hurt again.
He was actually better. He had more power last year, I think, than what he did the year before. Well, it's hard to measure, but his batting average went down quite a bit. But if we get 2022 Danny Jansen, we're golden.
Right.
Like, that's a solid fifth hitter.
Yeah.
.855 OPS. I'll take that. Holy shit. Anyway, we'll talk about the lineup construction a little bit closer. We still have, I think, 2 weeks before we do our big preview episode?
Probably 2 weeks from now we'll be doing it.
Yep. There's tons of time to do it. It's an exciting time. Joey Votto is a Toronto Blue Jay. That's hell the last thing I'm going to say.
All right, yeah, and that'll be it for us today. I got to take this dog for a walk. He's chomping on my fingers right now because he wants to go outside. So
he's a good boy.
He's a good boy, yeah. He's very gently nibbling on my hand. All right, so that'll be it for us. We'll be back again. We're going to keep watching all of the news out of the spring training. If there's anything big that happens, we'll come back sooner than normal, but expect us to be back here in a few days. For Patrick out in Halifax, I am Justin here in Saskatoon, and we will see you next time.